You know, I started out my walk with God being very busy. I found a life in church, a life that excited me, and a home, a family in church. And I completely loved being in church. My mom says I was like a fish that found water. And I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I wasn't raised in Christian beliefs and understandings. So finding God was a real eye-opener and a life-changing moment for me. But I fell into being busy for God. And I look back all those years ago and I think, why did I jump in so much? And when I say jump in, I mean, I was busy. I spent time with God, doing things for God, serving, helping every way possible. And it was all wonderful. But what happened was I began to calculate, not on purpose, but in the back of my mind, that my busyness for God equaled my relationship with God. The more I did for Him, the more He loved me. The more I did for Him, the more I could ask of Him. And without knowing it, I had fallen into a lifestyle of works, trying to earn love, earn favor from God. And so in today's message, we want to talk about what I would call a foundation of all faith. Whatever you're believing for in your life, whatever needs you have that you're asking God to help you with, whatever area you're weak in, whatever area you're believing something in your life, in your family, this, what I'm going to teach today, is a foundation for every area. That all faith must be built on the foundation that we're going to talk about today. And so one of our core verses on this subject is going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul here is writing to the church, and he makes this statement. Verse 9 and verse 10 is the one I really want to look at, but we'll start in verse 9. For I am the least of all the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Now, when I read this verse many years ago, the Lord spoke to me, and I knew that there was a whole universe of understanding just in this one verse, that I am what I am by the grace of God. That's not saying what some worldly people might say, which is, hey, this is the way I am. God made me this way. That's just deal with it. This is saying everything I've become and have done for the kingdom of God is by His grace. In fact, he says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. So he's comparing himself to probably the other apostles. And he's making this statement that I've worked hard for the gospel. I've labored more abundantly. And I can relate with that because I labored very much for the gospel. I gave much of my time, even when I was just 18 and 19 and just started to find God and explore God. I was busy, busy, busy. And as long as I was busy, I felt good. I felt close to God. But the moment I had a slow day or a slow week, I found that I felt insecure with God, unable to ask for anything because I didn't feel worthy because I had tied in my busyness with my relationship with God. And today we want to untie that and help us to understand the reason we can believe for any miracle is not because of something we do. It's because of what Jesus has done. I know that's a simple saying and we all understand that to a certain extent, but we need to have that deep in our heart that we know I can't earn something so valuable as answered prayer. I can never be worthy for something that Jesus did. Jesus was everything. He did it all. I have to believe that what He did was enough. So by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. So Paul is really saying, I tied myself to the grace of God, and the grace of God took me on a life of laying down my life, and it kept me busy serving God. But it was the grace of God in me. He's not saying it's a lazy walk. He's still laboring, but instead of laboring to earn something from God, he's laboring from what he's earned from God. And I remember Pastor Dave Roberson saying one time years ago, and he said it quite often, but the first time I heard it, he said, "I don't give to get God to bless me. I give because I'm blessed." And I'm understanding that more and more as I get older and more mature and more at peace with God, that it's out of the belief and out of the love that I know I have for God that I give. I don't ever give to get God to give me something else. And it's really that message of giving to get is kind of incorporated in much of the church world today, because there is some practical sense to it that, you know, I confessed and then the miracle came. So some people believe that you confess and you move God, that your confession proved to God you're worthy, you earned God's approval, you moved God's hand, you got his attention, and therefore you did something so God was able to answer that prayer. And we hear the testimonies, "I gave and God gave back to me." But truth is, you don't have to move God. He's not the one stuck. When we're believing for a miracle, he already answered your prayer. He already made a way for your healing. God already made a way for your provision. He already made a way for your deliverance. It's always and already been done at the cross by the price that Jesus paid. And so because of that, I now have a right to stand. So if I try to add my works, my good works, to believe in God for something, really the principle is, if you want to earn it, you're going to have to earn it. If your faith is in your ability to earn God's answered prayer, then that's where your faith is. You've stopped God and robbed God from answering your prayer by the grace of God. So our faith is supposed to be in what Jesus did, and any work that we do towards believing should be in helping me to believe in developing the faith to receive what Jesus has already done. So I'm not trying to earn anything from God. In fact, see, I'm incapable of what offering am I going to give to God to deserve healing, to deserve salvation, to deserve being free from sin. What gift, what work am I going to give to God to earn anything? It's embarrassing when you think about it. Jesus took the stripes, laid his life at the cross, was abandoned by his Father, went to hell, took sin unto himself, sickness and disease unto himself, was resurrected from the dead. All of that out of love for us, and we want to add our tip into it, our 2 cents into it. We want to give something to say that I deserve it because look what I did. In retrospect, all that we do for God, everything we do for God should be out of fruit of a belief that says, Jesus made it possible for me. And because Jesus made it possible for me, that's what gives me the right to stand on the Word of God, that God's already answered my prayer. And that's where we fight for our faith. So many people are missing the mark. They're fighting for faith, but they're on the wrong foundation. They're on a foundation of their works instead of a foundation of the works of Christ. I remember one lady, a dear, dear lady, really strong believer, confessed the Word of God. She was fighting a disease. And I went and prayed for her. And I remember I couldn't get her healed. The pain would leave her, but I couldn't get her completely healed. And she was bedridden. I continued to pray for her. I had to leave the town. And I continued to pray for her. I went back even. And she ended up passing away. And I was asking God. I said, God, how is that? She's such a strong woman of God. She loves you. She serves you. She's faithful to you. She was a strong believer. If you dared talk to her about any doubt about victory, she would kick you out of her house. And so very few preachers that she let even talk to her. And she loved me because I stood on the Word of God. And I remember saying, God, she confessed. She did everything I know that we should do to receive a healing. And we never question or judge people when they have fight with sickness or disease. It's really unfair to try to nitpick in someone else's business. But I asked God, I said, why is it that you weren't able to heal her? And the Lord showed me in her past, she was raised in a small town, a hard town, and her parents worked in the fields and would leave her with her siblings for all week, Monday to Friday. And so she had to raise her younger brothers and sisters by herself in a rough neighborhood. And the Lord told me that with her, she learned to survive in life by taking care of her own self. And there was a mindset in her from her youth that said, if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't fight for yourself, no one else will. Your parents won't. If you don't take care of your siblings, they're going to die. So she carried this responsibility and this brick on her shoulder for her whole life. And the Lord brought that mentality over to her healing and said her struggle in receiving a healing had to do not with unforgiveness, because, you know, when you're going through a hard time and you really believe in God for things, you deal with all the surface areas. Have you forgiven everyone in your life? Yes. I even wrote my third grade teacher and apologized for lying. And I confess that I was the one who threw the spitball. Do you want to be healed? Yes. Do you want prayer? Yes. You know, so we have some generic questions that we ask people. But usually when you're going through something, you've already dealt with those areas. And so this was an area in her life where in her foundation of her thought life and her the foundation of her belief system was, if I don't take care of things, if I fail, my siblings will die and be murdered and molested and hurt. So I have to keep my guard up. And she did that for her whole youth, protecting her siblings. Well, she grew up and she ran into something, this disease in her life. She was believing for a miracle, but the thing that the Lord told me, and this is just between me and God, I have no proof of this, but the Lord told me that the blockage for her to receive her miracle wasn't that God was holding it back. It wasn't that she wasn't confessing or standing. It was that she had a fear in her that if she didn't take care of things, then they wouldn't be taken care of. And now she ran into a disease that she couldn't take care of. And it was hard for her, even though it didn't seem related, it was very difficult for her to believe God as a father to come in and give it to her for free. Because when you work your whole life for everything, sometimes it's hard to believe that someone will love you that much to take care of you. And there could be a pride in some of us too that says, hey, I need to earn something with God, not just receive it. Because if you receive it as a gift, then you don't deserve it. And that's the whole point. We can't earn a miracle. We can't earn things of the impossible. They must be received. Paul makes this statement, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. So the grace of God took him on a mission, on a life mission, on a life trip, on an adventure that cost him everything, and he labored along the way. But the laboring wasn't to earn the right, it was a fruit of the grace. And that's what I'm trying to get to, the foundation of our faith. We have to get this in our heart. You have to get this in your heart. Your Father has already, through Jesus, purchased everything for you. And your right to receive and your right to request answered prayer comes from Jesus making a way for his Father to become your Father the moment you're born again. Over in Romans chapter 8, we'll just read briefly here. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So when you have the new nature in you, you're born of God, you're a child of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. So we are joint heirs, heirs of God. And when you read the word heirs, it's given us a signal of how we are to receive from God anything we need, anything our prayer comes from, anything we face. If it's in his will, the way we receive it is by asking. We speak, we ask, and then we receive. But what gives us a right to receive, what gives us a right to own it, to have it, has got to be that Jesus paid the price. What gives me a right to believe for my finances, my needs being met, for my healing in my body, for my salvation of my family, for deliverance from sin, from emotional battles, what gives me a right to request and receive from God, it's not my works, it's not my doing, it's what Jesus did, and I believe that he did it. The moment I believe that he did that, the moment I truly believe that Jesus answered my prayer and that I'm worthy to receive because of what Jesus did, that's the moment I receive it. That's the moment it's manifested. And so we believe that God made the way, but we also believe that he made a way for us to receive. And that's where I had the hard time. I felt unworthy in life for whatever reason. And so I was constantly earning the right to have a relationship with God in my busyness. And when God began to tie my hands and tell me to stop being busy, then I became insecure with God. I became frustrated with God because I didn't feel worthy enough to receive his love. Now, when I was busy, doing, I felt good. I felt like I could receive. But see, that was my faith to ask God for things was built on my works, what I did for him. Well, give me the right to feel confident in asking God and receiving from God was what I did for him. I did this, so therefore you'll receive me. But there's no pile of works that you can give to God that will ever give you a right to earn it. In fact, it does the opposite. When you approach God with a pile of works to ask him for things, here's what I'm offering you, God, so that you will give me a healing, give me salvation for my family, deliverance, meet my needs. The moment we try to offer works, any work other than the blood of Jesus, anything in your hand other than the blood of Jesus, to say, this is why I can receive, means that if you are going to try to earn it with your works, you have to earn it. You have to pay the price. So you better have a lot of works. And even the lot of works will not be enough because Jesus was enough. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And you he made alive, verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So he's telling them they're born again. In which he once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So verse 5. And even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So right now you are seated in heavenly places. This is a place of authority. This is a position of having ownership. That we have a right to receive the miracles of God. I know that for many of us, we begin to hit problems when we can't get our prayers answered. And it's in those moments that we can't seem to get our prayers answered that we begin to look around for, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to do to fix it? And the Holy Ghost will help us with areas. And that's why praying in tongues is so important, because the Holy Spirit is praying out the perfect will of God and the perfect prayer for you in the moment. But we begin to question, what do I need to do? What am I doing wrong? What do I need to do more of? And that's when the devil jumps on your shoulders or insecurity and says, well, you're obviously not doing enough. Because if you're doing more, then God would have healed you by now. And so I call it the treadmill of works. We get on a treadmill with the devil on our shoulder telling us we need to do more. We need to do more. And so running, doing works, doing good stuff. And it's all good, but the motive is I'm compiling a stack of works so I can give it as an offering to God. So then maybe he will notice me. Maybe then he'll answer my prayer. So we get on this treadmill of works, and every time I go to God and the prayer isn't answered, the devil says, well, obviously you need to do more. You need to do more. And so we spend so many years running, and we're focusing on the wrong foundation. Our foundation must be the work that Jesus did. That must be our foundation. And so we still confess. We still read. We still pray in tongues. We do these things, but not to earn. We still feed the poor. We still witness. We still help in the churches. We still do things, but never to earn anything from God. It should always be a result, a fruit of our heart, to love God, to bless God for what He's already done for us. And the moment we try to approach Him with a work, we try to give Him something, then that's the moment that we end up changing our foundation. So we can either approach God with the foundation of humility, the foundation of grace, faith in the work that Jesus did. And when we don't have an answered prayer, then we work on our faith, not on our works. We work on our faith to believe and receive. And that's why we confess the Word of God and we pray in tongues and we read the Word of God. We do those things to build our belief system in what Jesus did. We don't do those things to get God's attention. I heard for years, one guy would preach for years, and I loved it. He was right about the confession, but he was wrong how it worked. Because he said, if you just confess and confess and confess, you can have your answered prayer. And he was right. People would confess and confess the Word of God over and over for years sometime, but they would get their miracle. But his interpretation of why they got the miracle was that the reason they got their miracle was because their confession got God's attention. They bothered God enough that He finally paid attention to them, and then they were healed. And according to grace, the price has already been paid. So why do I confess? Well, I confess to change my belief system, because God is not the one stuck. I'm stuck. That's why I confess the Word of God, to believe for Him to answer prayer. I'm going to go over to the book of James here real quick. James chapter 2, verse 10. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of it all. And there's a little principle in here that if you're going to try to purchase anything by your works or by the law, by legalism, by good works, then you have to do the whole thing. And if you miss up in one area, you're going to lose everything. You can't walk with God on the foundation of your works and expect to receive by faith. It's one or the other. And that's the point of this message, is to help you see faith has two foundations: your works or the works of God, and you believe in the works of Jesus. That's our choice. And our foundation of faith, I want you to go all the way down to your foundation and look, where are you standing when you stand before God? Where are your feet planted? Are they built on the foundation of your works? Are you standing on a pile of good things, good gifts, good offerings, good helping, good serving, good lifestyle? Do you have that list and you're standing on it? Or are you standing on His grace, on the foundation of faith in what Jesus has done by His grace? Because they're two different foundations. And you'll be very frustrated if your foundation is your works. Because, like we read in James, if you even miss one thing, one little tiniest little thing is off, then the whole thing is a mess. It doesn't work. That's why we have to receive by grace. And the work that we do is not to try to pile up more works to get God to answer our prayer, to get Him to give us His attention. He already knows everything about you. He's with you every moment of the day. He thinks about you every moment of the day. He's amazing, and His love for you is incredible. And He's with you, and He's watching you. You're seated with Him in heavenly places. And it says there, you're seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Back over to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 6, and raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you just to ponder this for a moment. Here we are, we look up at heaven, and the visual is God the Father on the throne, and right next to Him on His right side is Jesus seated there with the Father. So we have the Father and Jesus. And now it tells us that we're seated in Him. So I used to think that as a family of God, it was Father, Jesus, and then probably John, Peter, James, and a long line of believers for 2,000 years. And then there I am, and there you are on way down in the family. And God looks down and goes, hey, down there, how are you doing? Hey. And we're way down there. But it says here we're in Christ Jesus. That means there's God the Father and Jesus. And then every person born again is in that seat. So you're seated next to God the Father in Christ Jesus. That is the access of His love. That's the access for our answer prayer, is understanding that we're in Christ Jesus, that Jesus paid the price. What He did was enough. So if I'm struggling in receiving something, which I have a habit of doing, I'm struggling receiving something, instead of looking for more things to do, I have to look at what's wrong with my belief structure, my thinking. How do I change it so I can receive the work that's already been done? For me, most of my life has been a struggle believing that I was good enough or God would care enough about me. And wherever that came from, I don't know, but that was my struggle for years, was just knowing that God is a good provider, knowing that God is a great healer, a miracle worker, but knowing Him for me is a whole different story. You know, so in many churches, if I were to say from the pulpit, how many believe God is a healer? Well, everyone would go, amen, amen. How many believe that God is a provider? Amen, amen. But then if I went out to the parking lot after service and captured people one at a time, alone, just me and them, and said, do you believe God is your healer? Many believers would say, I believe He wants to heal me, but when I'm good enough, when I'm done enough, then He'll give it to me. But see, God's not withholding any good thing from you. He doesn't withhold healing, provision. He doesn't withhold things. What stops us from receiving is this belief structure that we're building. Some of us are building on the foundation of our works, and we're always striving, never good enough, never enough, because we cannot earn what Jesus has already given to us. I remember a story I read many years ago. It was the story of this young man and his family when he was a kid. They would go to this island every year, and they would swim and beautiful island, and they spend their summers there. And this happened for his whole young life. And as they went year after year, he got to know an old man that would sit by the beach and made friends with him. And every year he would be there and they would hang out, spend time together. And it became kind of like a family to him over the years. Well, this young man grew up to be a teenager, to a young adult, went to college. Still, every summer with the family, they would go and be on this island. And the old man, when he was maybe a teenager, took him into his house and said, come here, I want to show you something. Come to my house. And he went in and he showed him this beautiful pearl on the mantle. It was this beautiful. It was huge. It was the biggest pearl you've ever seen. It was flawless. It was beautiful. It was priceless. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. It was such a valuable pearl. And he told him the story. He said, my son, who would be a little older than you, he passed away. And he was a swimmer. And on the island, he was known as the best pearl diver, because the island was known for its pearls. It had a reputation around the world for having the best and largest pearls. And he said, my son would swim further and hold his breath longer, could always come up with the biggest oysters, and would always capture the biggest pearls. But one day while he was swimming, his foot got caught in the reef and my son drowned with the oyster in his hand that had this monster pearl in it. So that's where this pearl comes from. My son, it was the last pearl he held when he drowned. And it was a sad story for the man who lost his son. Well, the years went on and they kept fellowshipping every summer. And then one day the old man asked now the grown-up young man to come into his house again. He said, listen, you've kind of become like a son for me all these years, and I appreciate you taking time during the summer to spend time with this old man. He said, I feel that I'm getting very close to dying, and I want to give you something as a gift of being just so valuable to me and so important in my life. And he told this young man, now a grown-up, I said, I want to give you that pearl on the mantle. I want to give it to you so you'll remember me. I just want to give it to you to be thankful for you being in my life. And the young man was so shocked by the gift. And he said, I just can't take it. Because I don't deserve that. I can't take that as a gift. That's the pearl's so expensive. He said, I tell you what, let me write you a check for it. So he reached into his back pocket and pulled out his checkbook. Let me write you a check for it and give you some money for it. Least I can do. I have some savings now. You know, I'm growing up. I have a job. Let me write you a check for it. And the old man got very upset and irate and said, how dare you? How dare you? What makes you think you can write me a check for this pearl? It's priceless as it is, just as a pearl. But it's not just the pearl. It cost my son his life, this pearl. I want you to receive it. You can't give me anything. Trying to give me anything belittles the gift. Well, sometimes that's the way we approach God in trying to receive from him. The gift that he's given to us in salvation, in healing, in our finances and our needs being met. The gift that he's given to us, the wonderful things that he's trying to give to us seem so overwhelming, and we feel maybe unworthy, and so we try to put in our 2 cents. We try to give him a tip. We try to give something, add something to it, so that we feel we have a right to receive it. But that act itself is the thing that's stopping you from receiving, because you, if you're trying to earn it, you have to earn it, and you have to pay the full price. And you can't pay the full price. Jesus already paid the price. So many times in our receiving, we add our works to it. We add our, God, if I'm faithful. And you can hear in testimonies. I've heard many people pray. One service, I was preaching, and the pastor during the healing line brought up a man and said on the microphone, Alan, will you pray for Mr. So-and-so here? He's one of our elders and a faithful usher and been faithful to our church for years and a good man. He's fighting this disease, and I'd like for you to pray for him to receive his healing. I said, sure, yes. You know, we're having a healing crusade. It's perfect. And then the pastor on the microphone said, well, you know, Alan, God's going to heal him, right? And I said, I believe that. And the pastor said, as we bantered on the microphone, yeah, I believe so too, because he's faithful. This man is faithful. He's been a faithful giver to the church. He's been a faithful helper for all these years. I believe God will heal him because of his faithfulness. And that's when I had to interrupt the pastor. And I didn't embarrass him, but I had to steer the doctrine in the right way and to say, I totally believe that God wants to heal him and will heal him. Yes, he's faithful, and praise God for his faithfulness, this man. But it's the faithfulness of Jesus that gives him a right to be healed. It's the faithfulness of what Jesus did. And that's what we're believing for. Amen? Amen. You know, so I was able to turn it without embarrassing the pastor. But that can be in our belief system, that creepy little thoughts of earning and being worthy. And if that's in us, we have to pray it out of us. We have to, this is why if you're going through a battle, you want to confess the word, but you also want to pray in tongues, because the Holy Spirit will go into the wrong thinking of the past and begin to untwine it, take it apart, and dissect it away from your belief system to where in the heart of hearts, in the foundation of foundations, I have a right to receive my miracle. And this is beyond speech. It comes to where you know it, and it's your foundation. I have a right to receive my miracle. I have a right to receive from God because of what Jesus did. And any absence of answer prayer is because I have to work on my belief system. God is not stuck. If there's an unanswered prayer, it's because I am stuck. My belief system is stuck. And for many of us, it's because we're standing on the wrong foundation. It looks the same, but they're not the same. They're complete opposite. Foundation of faith must be that Jesus paid the price. So I confess, not to get God to answer my prayer. I confess to change my thinking, my beliefs, so I can receive what God's already done. Back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's your place of authority right now as a born-again child of God, is that you're actually seated in Christ, right beside God, meaning you have authority to receive as an heir all the promises of God that Jesus purchased for you. For by grace you have been saved. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. So even the faith that we have to believe is a gift from God. It's not earned. It's not our own strength. Everything has been provided for us from God. The answered prayer and the right to receive the answered prayer, they're both from God. That's why we got to be humble and understand we have to learn how to receive from God freely, unearned. That means you can't earn it. You have no ownership of it. It's yours because you're an heir and because of what Jesus has done for you. Verse 8 again, Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has prepared us for good works, not because of good works. Good works that we do, and I believe in serving, I believe in being busy for the gospel. But it's not to get God to do something. It's not to deserve anything. It should be the fruit of understanding that I am so amazed at God's love for me. I'm so blessed by his care for me and his thoughts for me that I want to give my life over to him and the things that he's asked me to do. There was a friend of mine. She had a friend who passed away. And I remember her telling me, I don't get it, Alan. I don't understand. She was a good woman. She was a pastor's wife. And she had cancer. And she said she had 3 kids and a good woman. She loved God. She served God. She confessed. She believed. And she described this woman. And she still passed away. And she said, why is God so hard that he didn't receive and heal her? She was good. She gave her life to the gospel. She raised her kids. She was a good wife, a good pastor's wife, a good minister. She was faithful. She confessed the word. And my friend said, I know people who barely are saved. They're still smoking and drinking, and they go to church and they get healed all the time. Why would God not heal her? And, you know, those are moments that you don't have to correct someone. God's not touchy. You don't have to defend him. But later on, after things calmed down, I got to instruct her and teach her a little bit. And I said, you know, if you're a good woman, a good person, and you are faithful to God, you serve God your whole life, you're a good parent, you serve God in the church, you're even a minister or minister's spouse. And I said, when you approach God for a miracle, it's possible that you might try to give God the good things that you've done as a reason for him to heal you, because you have a good pile of good works. But there's not good enough. But if you're just some guy who's barely born again, coming off the street, and you approach God for a healing, you know that the only way possible for you to get healed is because Jesus loves you that much, because you have nothing to give him. So your faith is focused only on what Jesus did. Whereas if you got a whole pile of good works, and this is one of the traps that good people fall into all the time. They have a pile of good works. They are living right. They are being faithful to God. They're faithful in their giving. They're faithful in their church services. They're faithful in reading the word and studying and learning. They're faithful in prayer. And so they have a good pile of good works. And it's much more tempting when you have a pile of good works to include them as the reason. It's like that young man trying to write a check. Here, God, here is something I can give you to add to why you should heal me. The understanding is that God's already healed you. The price has already been paid. The devil's already been defeated. Sickness has been defeated. Depression's been defeated. Sin has been overcome. Everything's been paid for by Jesus. So it's our receiving and believing that Jesus was enough. The foundation of our faith must be that Jesus was enough. And from that, I build towards receiving. So the work that I do, and there's still work, but the work that I do is to focus on believing so I can receive what Jesus did. Instead of trying to work harder at more works to try to give God more reasons of why he should heal me. Let's read a little more in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk with him. So even when God begins to use you and you begin to see fruit of serving God, fruit of your time praying in the Holy Ghost, fruit of your good decisions, we have to always put that back on Jesus. Every good thing in my life is because of God, not because I'm good. I can never be good enough. Even in my best effort, the best things that I can give God, it's not enough. And embarrassing, that's what's kind of crept into the church world today, is adding things to why God should heal you. If you need a miracle in your family, I heard one preacher, and he said, if you need a miracle for your loved one, maybe you have a daughter who's not saved, and or a friend or a loved one who's not serving God, add your faith to believe God for their salvation, and I want you to send me some money and as a seed of faith. And, you know, I understand that, but the moment we add that, you need to add money to believing God, you're adding a work to say, I have to add more than Jesus. Jesus was enough. Jesus paid the price. The work that Jesus did on the cross was the total price paid in full. Everything paid in full because Jesus loves you that much. So when we stand in faith, we still confess, we still pray in tongues, we still read the word, meditate the word, we still give our time, we still serve, we do all these things, but it must be on the foundation that Jesus already paid everything in full, and I'm doing these things to please him, to participate in his kingdom as the work that comes forward, because I am his workmanship. Not I'm doing the work to get God to do something. And it may sound simple today, I don't know, but there's two distinct foundations of faith that I've noticed in my life and other people's lives. They look very similar in what they do. One person confesses over and over to receive, to change their belief system, to receive what God already did. Well, the person next to him is confessing and confessing, but this one is confessing to try to get God's attention because they don't feel that God loves them that much. And so they're working to try to get God to give them something that he already has given them. And we do the work of praying and fasting and meditating the word and confessing the word and all the things that we do as a result that we can believe for this miracle. This is possible. You know, it doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter if you caused it. One man came up to me in a service and said, I have a kidney problem, and I want you to pray for a miracle. I said, oh, great. You know, right when I was about to pray for him for his kidney problem, he said, I know I haven't been eating right, and so I'm just trusting God will heal me. And I stopped him because right then he added his work to believing for the miracle, that his inability to eat right was the reason why he was disqualified. I said, I don't understand what you're saying. He said, well, the doctor says I shouldn't eat hamburgers or pizza, and I've eaten too much of that, and so I kind of deserve this, you know. And I said, I eat hamburgers and pizza, and I don't have kidney disease. You have a right to receive your miracle because of what Jesus did. It is a step of faith. It is proof of faith that you believe when you handle the things like diet that you can handle. But it's not earning something from God. And I had one friend who had diabetes, and her family said that, well, she needs to change the way she eats because God won't heal her if she doesn't change the way she eats. And I said, well, that's not scriptural. I said, God heals you because of what Jesus did, because you believe what Jesus did, not because of what you eat or don't eat. Now, again, I think it is a step of faith and a proof of faith when you do manage what you can, but it's not required. What's required is that you believe that Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. Quit adding your works as a tip, because if you're going to earn it, if you miss one little bit of it, and you lose every bit of it. Our foundation of faith, and many people have been destroyed. Let me say it this way. Many people have been destroyed because they did everything right, but they were on the wrong foundation, and they were frustrated, and they gave up on trusting God because they worked so hard, and they weren't paid in full. But the price for your miracle has already been paid by what Jesus has done. It's been paid in full, stamped, paid in full. God, I'm here for my healing. I'm here to receive it. Can I add something? No, keep your money away because it's paid in full. I have the paperwork. Paid in full by Jesus. It's stamped in the blood of Jesus. Paid in full. The price of your salvation, paid in full. The price for your healing, paid in full. The price for your needs to be met, paid in full. The price for your salvation of your family, paid in full. The price for your deliverance from sin, paid in full. The price to overcome emotional depression and struggles, paid in full. Well, God, what can I add? Can I add a good work? Can I add something to already paid in full? Put your wallet away. What he wants from us is to believe and receive from what Jesus has done. Not to pile up our confessions, our Bible reading, our prayer time, our feeding the poor, our winning souls, our service in church. Not to pile that up, our giving donations. Not to pile that up as a stack of proof, of evidence, to say, this is why you should heal me. This is why you should see my family saved. This is why I should overcome this. Because look what I did, God. See, that itself is the wrong foundation, and it's all going to crumble. You'll never get the answer that you're after. But by grace, by the work that Jesus did in you, there's work that comes out. By his grace, he has done a workmanship in us already. You're already, by his grace, by his work, free to receive all that God has for you. And the moments of struggle, when you're believing for something and you don't have the answer yet. And I've lived much of my life in that scenario, believing for the impossible in my own life and not seeing it yet. And the temptation is to take the reins back and go find a way to get God's attention. But when you don't blame God, because you know, we know that he's already paid the price. There's nothing more in the world that he wants than to see you walk in victory. He's already purchased it. He's already paid it in full through Jesus. And he wants you and I to have it. So what's the struggle? Well, when it's the impossible that you're believing for, what's the struggle is my belief system. There's something in me. Well, I can't see it. I've forgiven everyone. I've repented of every sin. I've let go of unforgiveness. I want to be healed. I want to receive. When we let go of all those things and we still don't have the answer, then there's something in our foundation that's crooked. And that's why we have to pray in tongues and pray in tongues and confess the word, because we never let go of the truth. The word of God is a true and everything else is a lie. When the devil says, well, God's not healing you because you're not good enough yet, that's a lie. Jesus has already healed you. Well, God's not giving it to you because you're not worthy. That's a lie. What makes you worthy is the price that Jesus paid. So receiving that and humbling ourselves to receive that promises of God, it can seem scary because you're standing on a foundation of unearned, undeserving. The only right I have to ask God for anything is that Jesus did it all. That's an heir. An heir is unearned. An heir receives because you're family. Well, you're family with God. Receive, believe. Father, we thank you right now that whatever our battle is, whatever we're going through, we know that you love us so much that you've given us the victory. We know that you love us so much that you had Jesus pay the price and purchase our healing, defeat the enemy, defeat sickness, disease, and poverty. We are overcomers because of the blood of Jesus. So, Father, not only did you pay the price through Jesus, not only did you make a way for victory, not only do you want us to have victory, you made a way for us to receive it as your children, as heirs of kingdom. So we ask you now for your grace. We ask you now for your peace. We ask you now for your strength, that we might receive and we might learn who we are in you, that our foundation for everything that good that happens to us, our foundation for every prayer is that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That God has paid the price for me to receive. That I'm worthy, I'm deserving, because I'm his child. Not because I earned it, not because I worked for it. Lord, let our foundation be in the faith of the work of Jesus Christ. for all our prayers. That is our foundation. Help us to stand there. Help us to stay there. Help us to build from there. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank God for you, and I thank God is touching your life, and there's good things in your future. God has great things for you. He loves you. He believes in you. Don't change course. Keep on the course of praying and seeking Him. Thank you for spending time with me. God bless you.